We bring you The Midnight Line, an adaptation by Robert Carlton. In the century after Martin Luther's death, in 1546, the Church of the Reformation underwent severe persecution. The royal house of Habsburg, ruling family of the German Empire, sought to extend its tyranny over all Europe. And wherever Habsburg forces advanced, religious freedom perished. Far to the north, in Lutheran Sweden, the young king Gustavus Adolphus saw this danger and was preparing to meet it. Our story opens in the royal palace at Stockholm, where the king's counselors are gathered. It is the year 1629.
Praise be to God that he has granted us a peace with Poland.
After 7 years of warfare, we had hoped for a swifter conquest.
But now the war is over and the danger past. Poland is prostrate.
Yet His Majesty appears to crave more war. He seems determined to involve us in the struggle on the continent.
Perhaps, Gavelsberg, His Majesty's vision is more far-reaching than yours. He sees a blow being aimed at the Protestant North, and when it strikes, we'll also be hit. It's about time the Protestants in Germany find a champion to right their wrongs. Don't you agree, Oxenstern?
I agree, General de la Cardie, that our king is as a new sun which has just risen. The suffering people of Germany look to him to dispel their darkness and create a happy dawn.
His Majesty, the King.
Your Majesty.
Gentlemen, to business. I think you all know the importance of this meeting. It may decide the history of Sweden for centuries to come. The House of Habsburg is making one great effort to re-enslave a half-liberated Europe. The question is, are we going to stand by and see it done?
It is indeed reported that the Emperor Ferdinand has completely suppressed the Protestant faith. Churches are closed, the people persecuted, a sad end to the work of Luther.
It must not be the end. It is our duty to preserve it.
I see that we must send some aid, but cannot we make it a defensive war?
General de la Gardie, what is your plan of campaign?
I'm ready to meet the enemy head on. Throw everything we can spare into North Germany.
Ah, we see a light.
But Your Majesty, Sweden doesn't have the means to support such a great campaign. We haven't money to pay troops for more than a few months.
Granted, but let's plant our foothold here on German soil, and God and the R will teach us how to strengthen ourselves further. Think what Luther and his followers have accomplished. We have the open Bible with its great truth of forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ. Men have been freed from the darkness of superstition and ignorance. And now that darkness is threatening to descend again. The very safety of Sweden is threatened by the power of the enemy. That power must be met swiftly and strongly. The fight will be for parents, for wife and child, for house and home, for faith and fatherland.
I stand with the king.
And I.
I too
stand with the king. Though I vote with a heavy heart, all alone we face the greatest power in Europe.
Not alone. God is on the side of his gospel.
And so, farewell to pleasant peace. We must greet grim war with sorrow.
To the imperial court of Ferdinand II and his empress at Vienna comes news that Gustavus and his army have landed on German soil.
Then it has been confirmed, my lord, that an army of Swedish peasants has landed in the north?
Yes, it's true. We have another little enemy before us, young Gustav, so-called King of Sweden.
They say this young Swede Gustav plays hard at being king. He insists on being called Your Majesty, as if he were a European prince.
Well, mark my words, this snow king will melt as he approaches the southern sun.
Certainly he does not attempt to launch this war alone. Won't others join him?
There is no fear. France and England are fearful of each other. Holland trembles in the shadow of Spain. Even the Protestant princes quarrel among themselves.
Then surely this ill-timed crusade will end in dark disaster. Which general faces this young lion who comes from the midnight of the north?
The General Conti stands in Gustav's way. He sent word that the Swede will lose all his laurels in the forests of Prussia.
Here comes the Chancellor.
Well, Kralitz, what news?
Your Majesty, the news is not what we expected.
Is the news from Conti?
Yes, Your Majesty. It is rather unexpected. The Imperial Army...
Tell us, what has happened?
The General Conti has resigned his command. His army has been badly beaten. The Swedish king holds possession of most of the northern strongholds, and many people are entering his service.
The traitorous dog! I'll have them scourged!
Begging your Majesty's pardon, but Conti's troops have anticipated your desire. They've been allowed to wallow in vice and crime. The countryside has been laid waste and plundered, but we're told the Swedish king severely disciplines his troops, is mild and just to all people, and so has won them over to his cause.
You dare to praise this upstart in my presence? Quick action must be taken or he'll march on Vienna. Order General Tilly to deflect his course.
I'll dispatch the command at once.
And tell Tilly to show no mercy to those who resist him. The time has come to drown this heresy in blood.
Stan, it's good to see your face again. These have been hard weeks of battle.
And I bring with me great news. I've been able to conclude a treaty with France, which will provide us with money to support our campaign.
Good work, Chancellor. You seem to turn up when I need help most.
Gustav, when do you move again?
I wish I knew. One thing is sure, unless we move soon, we can't hope to relieve Magdeburg.
Magdeburg? I don't understand.
Tell him, Jacob.
The Protestant city of Magdeburg has requested our protection. The Emperor's army now advances against it, and our treaty calls for us to stand or fall together.
Then honor binds you there.
Yes. I sent General Falkenberg on ahead to try and organize the defense of the city, but he's hopelessly outnumbered.
And we stand here, blocked from going to his aid by these Protestant princes, who, instead of being our allies, are more like enemies. John George of Saxony won't let us cross his hallowed soil.
Can we not force a passage?
We could, but we would then risk an uprising behind us. I'm hoping for a treaty. I've asked the elector for a personal meeting, and I'm awaiting his reply now.
Your Majesty, Grawald, the Saxon envoy, has arrived.
Send him in at once.
Your Majesty.
Well, Grawald, get down to facts. What does the elector say in regard to our proposed treaty?
His Excellency declines the alliance. He says he cannot overlook his duty to the Emperor.
Does it make no difference to him that the Emperor's troops are murdering thousands of fellow Protestants?
His Excellency will look after his people's faith.
What about the personal audience His Majesty has requested?
His Excellency regrets that he cannot participate in the proposed conference.
Very well. He has spoken. Now tell His Excellency that he who makes a sheep out of himself will be eaten by a wolf, for I refuse to hear a word about neutrality. His Excellency will have to declare himself. Here strives God and the devil. If he holds with God, he'll come over to me. But if he prefers the devil, he'll have to fight me first.
I can hardly believe Your Majesty will be so rash.
Jacob, prepare to advance toward Magdeburg.
At once, my sword arm aches for action. Your Majesty, a message of importance.
Let's have it. We've waited too long, Jacob. Magdeburg has fallen. Read it aloud.
Early in the morning, on the 9th of May, the Imperialist troops stormed the city. Before noon, the city was taken and abandoned to the pillage of the soldiers.
Men, women, and children were abused and murdered. The city was burned and is now in ashes. There remains only the cathedral, three or four houses which surround it, and some fishermen's huts on the banks of the Elbe.
Those were terrible deeds.
Yes, they are the price of your brave Elector's neutrality.
But he and the Protestant princes, after meeting in Leipzig, they petitioned the emperor to spare Magdeburg.
Shall I tell you what they did at Leipzig?
After the manner of the children of this world, they were very gay and merry, had all kinds of feasts and banqueting, and all that to strengthen the word of God and liberty. These wine heroes toiled very hard, like the bishop who burned his fingers on a roast and cried, "What must we not suffer for the kingdom of Christ?" Yes, they petitioned the emperor with all due reverence and obedience. That is what they did for Magdeburg. And now those people's blood is on their hands. Take that news back to your elector.
Yes, Your Majesty. Goodbye.
What now, Gustav?
Good Jacob here has long wished to cross swords with the emperor's butcher. That moment is not far off. Our army moves at dawn.
I feel a great new strength within me, as if the blood of all those martyrs were now infused in mine. And they, with God, shall help turn the emperor's victory chant into a dirge of death. The sky is clear. It heralds a lovely morn.
A morn of battle with the enemy.
They still have the blood of Magdeburg on them, which I hope to wash off with their own.
The emperor's army is a strong one, and Tilly is a good general. It will be no easy fight. I've often wondered, is the fight for faith uppermost in the enemy soldiers' hearts?
I don't think so. Oh, there are some like General Tilly who fight sincerely for what they believe. But to most of the common soldiers, Christ is just the name by which to swear. Most of them are mercenaries, going into war for what they can get out of it. But to the soldiers in our army, they are bound together by something higher and nobler, and they are inspired by the example of our King. His Christian living, daily Bible reading, and praying with the men. His humble faith inspired faith in others, and his actions steal their hearts upon the field.
Everything you say is true. We have a noble current bearing us along.
Here comes the King, Your Majesty.
Greetings, friend. Well, not many hours more.
And then we'll send the Imperials flying.
I think so, too. For I count on the justice of our cause more even than on arms and allies. I believe that God has led us here to defend our suffering brethren. The light of the pure gospel must not be extinguished. As Christ has died for us, we should also be ready to give our all in his service, in this cause which we pray has his blessing. The enemy's frightful crimes against the innocent, God will surely punish. That is why we attack with courage. God is with us. Let these be our battle cry.
God is with us, Your Majesty.
Well, I shall join my men and get some sleep.
That were good for all of us.
Until we meet again, good night. Good God, thou who holdest in thy hand victory and defeat, turn thy merciful face to us, thy servants. We have traveled far. We have left our peaceful homes to combat in this land for liberty, for truth, and for thy gospel. Glorify thy holy name in granting us the victory.
Well, Prelate, what's the matter? Did the courier bring us a dispatch?
He did, Your Majesty, from Tilly.
At last. Too long he has been silent. Give it here.
Yes, Your Majesty. It will not please your eyes.
What is the news, my lord? Has the battle in the north been fought?
Qualit, this is no jest.
No, your majesty. It is the truth.
Why, what has happened?
Tilly has been defeated. The Snow King has conquered.
Conquered? How my blood runs cold.
Another army must be organized quickly. Summon the Duke of Friesland.
Wallenstein? Yes, your majesty. At once.
Once again, this northern lion has leaped and conquered. I begin to fear him as the devil.
When an animal is too fierce to be stalked with weapons, cunning huntsmen spread a net and then conceal it in the grass. When the animal steps upon it, he is hopelessly enmeshed. Such a net will I spread for this lion from the north, and not all the devils in hell will keep him out of it. While the emperor is rebuilding his shattered forces, Gustavus is joined in Germany by his queen, Maria Eleanor.
Oh, Gustav, on my journey southward, I saw the results of your victory. Churches reopened, people able to worship freely.
Yes, we have accomplished much with God's help. But there's still more to be done.
I cannot help fearing for your life. So many hate you for what you are doing. You have such powerful enemies.
Justice and liberty will always have enemies on this sinful earth. But you mustn't fear for me.
When I'm with you, I'm not afraid. But I wish these terrible times would end.
They will end, Maria. It won't be long. But for that little time, I again must leave you.
Leave me again to fight?
Yes, Maria. The emperor is making one last attempt to stave off defeat. He's called on Wallenstein to form an army. And now, if with God's help we crush Wallenstein, the emperor's power will be broken.
Then, if Wallenstein is beaten, you will have peace?
Then I'll have peace. I'll lay aside my sword and come and take you back again to Sweden. We'll see our little daughter once again. On sunny summer days, we'll all go boating on the lovely Lake of Malar. And far, far behind us will be those bloody days of strife.
I wish all that could be tomorrow.
I wish that I could make it so. But we must wait and hope.
Your Majesty.
Yes, Chancellor.
Pardon the intrusion. Word has come that Wallenstein marches north to Saxony.
Then we must stop him. These days of rest are ended. Once more the battle trumpet sounds.
Been trying to lure that fox Wallenstein into open battle, and now it seems we've got him.
The king is approaching. God with us, friend.
God with us.
Has your majesty rested well? I find it hard to take my ease while so many men around me are deprived of it. My friend, the choice of battle lies with us. I truly believe that God has delivered the enemy into our hands, but you are free to speak your feelings.
We have already dented Freeland's armor. Let's hit him again before he gets away.
Good, Marshal Horn.
I see the odds again, but I wouldn't put it off. I say, let's fight.
Then this day we battle Friedland.
The dawn is almost upon us. Yep, there seems to be a mist in the morning air.
The sun with his great eye seems to have read beforehand the horrors of this day and has no wish to begin it. Well, we must waken time. Go, bid the drums roll, and summon troops to stand in arms. And when they've done the trumpet, join them in the battle hymn. Have my horse ready for my mounting, and I'll pray with the soldiers in a short time.
Your Majesty, we all do ask that you shield yourself from open danger. Your person is most precious to us. In every battle, your valor makes us fear for your person's safety.
Thanks for your concern and love, but I can't believe, dear friends, that my person is as precious as you suppose. If death comes to me, God will not let us continue watching over Sweden as before. And if death should be my portion in the fortunes of war, can a king succumb more gloriously in defending his God and his people?
Yet I pray God spare us that. We'd rather give our lives than see yours lost to Sweden.
Your Majesty, will you wear your armor to battle?
God is my armor. My friends, prepare to show yourselves the brave soldiers that you are. Hold firm, stand by each other, and fight valiantly for your religion, your country, and your king. May God preserve you all. He will, I hope, give us a victory, the memory of which will live through the ages. Jesus, 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 make us fight this day for the glory of thy holy name.
And so it happened that a little after midday, with the battle still in balance, and the center of our army wavering from imperial attack, His Majesty Gustavus took a regiment of soldiers to strengthen those in need and led a charge against the foe far in the lead, as was his custom. A sudden wreath of smiths came down upon him, hiding him from those who followed. It was later seen a pistol shot had wounded the king's horse. Another struck the king, and he fell from off his charger. Horsemen of the enemy rode up and plunged their swords into his breast before the first that followed could hasten to his aid. But rather than destroying the courage of our troops, the deed roused it into a wild, consuming flame. Officers and men moved forward in a wild, despairing rage and shattered Freeland's army, driving it in rout. Included in the victory corps were many soldiers' lives, including that of a brave and noble king who died at the young age of 8 and 30 years, in the prime of his great powers, in the service of his God. The sword of His Majesty has been carried to us, the sword he bore with honor against his country's foes, consecrated to the cause of Christ.
We in his company before the battle told him we'd rather die than have him lost to Sweden. But God willed it otherwise. And yet, you said before he left us, there was no more glorious way to die than in fight for God and country.
He told me once that with this battle won, he would lay aside his sword and at last have peace.
He has laid aside his sword and found a peace that's everlasting. His Majesty has died, that the Reformation cause might live. He has taught men how to resist tyranny and persecution. His passing leaves us to grieve, but also to consecrate ourselves anew. He will be buried in Ritterholm Church in our fair Stockholm. The flags of conquered princes will be hung above his tomb. Our king was ever simple, brave, truthful, and devout. And Sweden through the ages will venerate his name. He had the highest sense of kingly dignity, and yet a higher sense of his great mission upon earth, having a single eye for that great work God had given him to do. More cannot be said for any man.
Our cast of players were Horn, Ed Bertram, Hockton Stern, Dave Curry, Gaversberg, Norman Redeker, Jacob D. Lagarde, Walt Marston, King Gustavus, Dave Romberg, Chamberlain, Fred Hermelson, Maria Anna, Harriet Field, Prowlett, Fred Hermelson, Ferdinand, Phil Steffen, Grawald, Ed Bertram, Maria Eleanor, Harriet Field. Our organist was Daniel Rooning, and your announcer is Phil Steffen.